Brothers and sisters, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Those words that St. Paul wrote to the Christians in ancient Thessalonica, he could easily say tonight to us here at St. Catherine's, to rejoice always, but with a particular joy today on this Laetare Sunday, in which we recall what Isaiah said to the Israelites in Babylon, to rejoice because the Lord is going to free you. And what Jesus did was so much greater than King Cyrus did. To pray without ceasing. And tonight we enter into that ceaseless prayer of the church in the presence of Jesus, which we call the Liturgy of the Hours, joining in His prayer to the Father. In all circumstances, give thanks. Tonight we give the Lord a special thanks for the gift of our faith and for the beauty of our faith, which is really put on display here in these Vespers. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is our vocation. On this Laetare Sunday, in which the whole Christian community rejoices in the foretaste and hope of what we prepare for at Easter, the reality and relevance of Christ's risen presence with us each day, we have a chance tonight to focus on the essential message, the kerygma of the Christian faith, which is the joy of the gospel. We do so in a special way this Laetare Sunday, because we're now exactly one quarter of the way through the 14-month year of consecrated life that Pope Francis inaugurated in December. Like all ecclesiastical holy years, like the year of faith, the year for priests, the year of St. Paul, the year of the Eucharist, the year of the Holy Rosary, the Jubilee year, the year of God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Marian year, the year of the Redeemer, all of which have been celebrated over the course of these last three decades. The year for consecrated life is an opportunity for the Church to grow in some aspect of living out our Catholic faith that often can remain peripheral. And this year for consecrated life is an occasion for us not only to thank God for the gift of the vocations of religious men and women, consecrated virgins, widows and hermits, members of secular institutes and societies of apostolic life, and the ever new expressions of consecrated life that have followed the Second Vatican Council. But it's a chance for all of us to learn from those in consecrated life how to live out better and more fully the consecration that flows from our baptism. St. John Paul II wrote in a rich apostolic exhortation on the consecrated life in 1996 that the consecrated life is not something isolated and marginal. It's a reality that affects the whole church, because the consecrated life is at the very heart of the church as a decisive element for her mission, since it manifests the inner nature of the Christian calling and the striving of the whole church's bride toward union with her one spouse. The consecrated life reveals, he stressed, both the essence of the Christian vocation in this world and toward the next. To understand the nature and purpose of our life as Christians, to know the meaning of our baptism, our discipleship and our mission, to enter into and live in God's kingdom now so as to live in it forever, we would all do well to turn to the consecrated life. Because as St. John Paul II said, it reveals various paradigmatic elements that every believer in whatever state of life ought to grasp and embrace. One of the most important and characteristic elements of all of the consecrated life, one that the consecrated life is meant to radiate throughout the world, is joy. Pope Francis, in his letter to the consecrated men and women of the world at the end of November, focused on this point. He said, "What in particular do I expect from the year of grace for consecrated life?" And he answered that question, that the old saying will always be true: where there are consecrated, there is joy. We're called to know and show that God is able to fill our hearts to the brim with happiness, that we need not seek our happiness somewhere else, that the authentic fraternity found in our communities strengthens our joy, and that our total self-giving and service to the church, to families and to young people, to the elderly and the poor, brings us lifelong personal fulfillment. None of us should be dour, discontented, and dissatisfied. For a gloomy disciple is a disciple of gloom. Like everyone else, he said, we'll have our troubles, our dark nights, our disappointments and infirmities, our experiences of slowing down as we grow older. But in all these things, we should be able to discover perfect joy. Because in all these things, we can find Christ, who comes into those experiences with His joy to give us that joy and make our joy complete. It's in those experiences, Pope Francis says, that we learn to recognize Christ's face, who came to be like us in everything, and to rejoice in the knowledge that we're being conformed to Him who, out of love for us, didn't refuse the sufferings of the cross. Similarly, all our apostolic fruit doesn't depend on the efficiency of our methods. It depends on the eloquence of consecrated lives, lives that radiate the joy and beauty of living the gospel and of following Christ to the full. On this Sunday of joy in the heart of Lent, during the first year for consecrated life in the history of the church, it's worthwhile for us to ponder what we all can learn about the nature of Christian joy from observing the joy that flows from consecrated life. What Pope Francis said of consecrated men and women should be able to be predicated of us all. Where there are Christians, there is joy. Where two or more are gathered in the Lord's name, there is the Lord with His joy. It's not merely to consecrated men and women, but to all followers of Jesus that Paul wrote the words we just heard. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is your vocation in Christ Jesus. The program of the Pontificate of Pope Francis, inaugurated 2 years and 2 days ago, is all centered on the theme of Christian joy. In Evangelii Gaudium, his apostolic exhortation on the gospel of joy, he describes the history of salvation, in which we've been included, as a great stream of joy. Jesus come, he said, so that his joy might be in us and our joy might be perfected. The Christian's joy drinks of Jesus' overflowing heart, Pope Francis exclaimed. And he adds that this participation in the joy of the Lord constitutes the joy to the world that we're all supposed to profess, not just at Christmas midnight mass, but as an ordinary reality. The lives of so many Christians, Pope Francis lamented, seem like a Lent without an Easter, as if so many of us are returning always from a funeral. The image we can project of our faith is often dour, because, Pope Francis says, we often have a dour and sternly demanding image of Jesus rather than a joy-filled one. Now, I think there's great damage that was done by the 1978 film Jesus of Nazareth, in which Robert Powell depicted the Lord Jesus. That is not a depiction that I would have left anything to follow that man. I'd encourage everyone during this Lent to go onto YouTube and to watch the Gospel of St. Matthew, which is part of the Protestants' visual Bible series, which there's an actor named Bruce Marchione who depicts Jesus with all his radiant joy. To watch the Sermon of the Mount as depicted by Bruce Marchione will change your life forever, because that is a joy, that is a Jesus brimming with joy. And that's the type of infectious joy with which Jesus wants to infect us and make us so contagious that people will be busting down the front doors of our churches to get just a little piece of. The whole missionary renewal of the church that Pope Francis believes that he was elected to lead involves helping all of us become evangelists, shearers of the good news and its joy by our words and witness. And that's how this year for consecrated life fits in. Because it's in the consecrated life and in so many consecrated men and women that we can see and taste that joy that comes from living the gospel with all 100% of our mind, heart, soul, and strength. So let's look at the consecrated life and how we can learn from those who have embraced it, how to live out our baptismal consecration with joy. I'll focus briefly on five ways. The first way that we can learn from those in consecrated life how to live our baptismal consecration joyfully is by the nature of consecration. What does it mean to be consecrated? It comes from two words, con, which means with in Latin, and sacer, which means to cut off. To be consecrated means to be cut off from worldliness, from the profane, in order to be with Jesus. But once we're with Jesus, then He transforms us so that we are with Him as He sends us out together with Him on mission. Pope Benedict used to say that the whole rite of consecration is a transfer of ownership. For any of us who's ever bought or sold a car or bought or sold a house, we know what it's like to sign over a title to someone or a deed. Pope Benedict said that consecration is giving over the title or the deed of our life to God. It's a total belonging to God so that we might be with Him and be sent out by Him to continue His mission to save the world. Now that can seem a little scary, to belong totally to God, not to be the owners of our own life. But the real key to the consecrated life is we're not the only one making that consecration. During the Last Supper, Jesus turned to His Father and He prayed that the Father might consecrate us in the truth. And He said, "I consecrate Myself for them so that they might be consecrated in the truth. Your word is truth." When we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, when we fully belong to the Lord, we receive far more than we give. Because as we open ourselves up through that consecration, we receive the total fruit of Jesus' consecration. And the only way we're ever really going to be able to receive all of the graces Christ consecrated Himself to make us holy, the only way we're going to receive them is by having a heart that's open to receive them. And that heart is opened precisely by the phenomenon of consecration. That's what happens on the day of our baptism, which is why baptism is always the most important day of our life. And when we reflect that Jesus consecrated Himself and died on the cross so that we might rise from the dead with Him, and that He has come to make our joy complete, how can we not be joyful? The second way that we learn from the consecrated life how to live more joyfully is through consecrated prayer. Pope Francis in that letter called consecrated men and women to be experts in prayer. Pope Benedict used to use the expression existences made prayer. St. John Paul II said that the consecrated are supposed to excel above all in the Trinitarian art of prayer. That the Holy Spirit within them teaches them how to pray as they ought, so that they're able to cry out, "Abba, Father," in the filiation of Christ the Son. When one has that type of communion with God in prayer, and prayer is not just an exchange of words or ideas, but of persons, when one can ask God anything and knows that God gives in response not just what is asked for, but gives Himself, as Jesus promised, whatever you ask the Father, He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. When we know that God the Father already knows exactly what we need and cares for us more than the lilies of the field and the sparrows that fly, when we know that He knows that we need to be fed, we need to have our thirst quenched, we need to have housing, we need to have clothing, He says, "Don't worry about these things, because your Heavenly Father knows you need them all." When we're able to come and pray to a God who loves us like that with His providence, how can we not radiate joy? That's the second source of Christian joy. The Lord calls not just consecrated men and women to be experts in prayer, existences made prayer, and excel above all in the Trinitarian art of prayer, but He calls us to do so too. And they're the great teachers in the school of prayer, which is the church. The third way we can learn from those in consecrated life how to radiate the joy that Pope Francis wants us to bring to the world is through authentic Christian community life. The whole letter of Pope Francis focused on the real nature of consecrated men and women living together. He called the consecrated to be experts in communion, witnesses and architects of the plan for unity that is the crowning point of human history in God's design. What did Jesus pray for in the Last Supper? Father, may they be one, just as I am in you and you are in me, so may they be completely one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them just as much as you love me. Jesus, when He raised Lazarus from the dead, said out loud, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this so that they might believe that you sent me. If Jesus' prayer is always heard by the Father, and Jesus prayed not just once but twice for us to have the unity that exists within the persons of the Blessed Trinity, then that means it's possible, provided that we don't put up those obstacles. When we look at the early church, we see a reflection of that Trinitarian communion. They had all things in common. They ate together. They prayed together. They went on pilgrimage to the temple together. Those who had fields and other property sold everything and laid the proceeds at the feet of the apostles to distribute as those who most were in need needed. That wasn't proto-communism. That was a voluntary act of love, the way real families love each other and are willing to sacrifice for each other. They had that real unitive family bond for which Jesus prayed. When we see healthy, consecrated communities, we see the joy that flows from authentic community life. How many priests are drawn toward the community that exists among Dominican friars because they have that community. And a lot of the time, secular priests like me live in isolation, and we long for it. How often the whole world sees the community that exists in convents and says, that's what our parishes should be like. And when you see it, what draws us is the joy that flows from that exchange of mutual love. The early Christians would say you'd know that they were Christians by how they love. And the fruit of that communal love is joy. We're all called to the joy that flows from this authentic Christian communion modeled on those in consecrated life. Fourth source of joy that we can learn from our consecrated brothers and sisters is how to wake up the world with regard to Christian charity. Pope Francis wrote in that letter at the end of November, like Jesus, who compassionately spoke His gracious word, healed the sick, gave bread to the hungry, and offered His own life in sacrifice. So the founders and foundresses of various forms of consecrated life sought in different ways to be of service to all those to whom the Spirit sent them. They did so by their prayers of intercession, their preaching of the gospel, their work of catechesis, education, their service to the poor and the infirm. Pope Francis added, the witness that can really attract is that associated with attitudes that are uncommon. Generosity, detachment, sacrifice, self-forgetfulness in order to care for others. This is the witness. This is the martyrdom of religious life. It sounds an alarm for people. Religious and consecrated are witnesses of a different way of doing things, a different way of acting, a different way of living. They show, they prove that it's possible to live differently in this world. Just as the charity of those in consecrated life built Catholic hospitals, schools, food pantries, and radiated through mission work, the priesthood, counseling, and so many other areas, so every believer is called to a similar creativity and perfection in charity according to our conditions in life. One of the real sources of joy is the unselfishness that leads us as good Samaritans to cross the road and become our brother's keepers. Improving the lot of others is one of the most enduring types of joy, which is why at Christmas so many become Secret Santas. Because they receive more joy in doing so than they'll ever give out in $100 bills. Pope Francis wants us all to learn this type of total self-giving charity from those who have given their lives for this charity in consecrated life. If we do, we will find enduring joy. And the last aspect of the consecrated life we can ponder is how the consecrated live. The evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience, which leads to joy, because they lead respectively to true wealth, true love, and true freedom. All the money in the world can't buy true happiness, which is why the suicide rate is so much higher among the very wealthy than the very poor. Likewise, giving into lustful impulses and becoming sex addicts never brings people joy, but rather a brutal form of interior slavery. Chastity, on the other hand, not only helps us to control our impulses lest they control us, but helps us to learn how to love as Christ loves, something that absolutely and always leads us to joy. And many think that calling all the shots, being in control, having everybody else serve us, is what we need to do to find real happiness. That we have to live autonomously, pick ourselves up from our bootstraps, be absolutely independent of everyone else. But that isn't what brings us peace or joy. It's the ability to be obedient to God, which means literally to listen to God so attentively that we, in the smallest things of life, will follow His will. And what is God's will? His will is not to make us miserable. His will is to lead us to true happiness. And when we seek to do our will instead of His will, we're only following our own blind eyes. Poverty, chastity, and obedience overcome the threefold temptation of the devil to disorder, respectively, our relationship with things, with others, and with God. And imitating those in the consecrated life according to our own state, imitating their poverty, imitating their chastity, imitating their obedience, will come to have a joy that the devil and the world can't give or rob. In all of these ways, consecrated people help us to live eschatologically. They help us to live with the last things in mind. They help us to dwell in God's kingdom, which is both now and not yet. The kingdom that's geared toward the one joy that will last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. They help us learn how to live with God in His presence, to belong to Him who consecrated Himself to us, to pray and abide with Him who comes here on this altar and within us, to abide within us, to live in communion with Him and in Him with others, to enter into His loving the world to the extreme, to yoke ourselves to Him in poverty, chastity, and obedience. Consecrated men and women show that that type of genuinely Christ-like lifestyle is possible and beautiful. And they show us, in stark contrast to the idols of the age, that one becomes happier, as La Petite Fleur used to say, as Saint Therese taught us all. We become happier through subtraction, not accumulation. through clinging to Christ in His poverty, chastity, and obedience, clinging to Christ even in His most challenging teachings, rather than running away from Christ in those teachings and seeking our happiness anywhere else. During this year for consecrated life, we thank God for the witness of consecrated life. We thank God for the gift of consecrated life. We thank God for those who have said yes to this gift, to the Dominican friars here in the sanctuary, to the Nashville Dominicans and the Sisters for Life here with us tonight, for all other consecrated men and women we know. And we ask God for the grace. We ask God incarnate on our altar for the grace that we might imitate their lived wisdom as we seek to grasp the inner nature of the Christian calling, which is to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing and give constant thanks, and the striving of the whole church as bride toward union with her one spouse. This is the essence of Christianity. Christ came to give us joy to the full. May we open up through imitating those in consecrated life to cling to joy incarnate and never let Him go. Praise be Jesus Christ.